Hello, I'm Robert Bateman, and this is the Privacy Corner, where I talk you through my top three picks for privacy-related developments each week. And thank you, as always, to Privado AI for sponsoring the show. So this week I'm looking at the OCI's new guidance on tracking technologies under HIPAA. The Belgian DPA has put out a very interesting decision about using legitimate interests to train AI models. And the UK government has got a warning over an ankle tagging scheme for migrants, and they seem to have done a very bad job with their DPIA. So we'll have a look at what the ICO has to say about that. So the guidance on tracking technologies by HIPAA covered entities and business associates. This is a reissue of some guidance from last summer. I think the OCR, that's the Office of Civil Rights, who regulates HIPAA, has reined things in slightly, but it's still very broad and it doesn't leave much room for tracking for HIPAA covered entities. So what they're concerned about here is disclosing protected health information, PHI, to tracking technology vendors. So basically Facebook, Google, Criteo, those sorts of companies, in ways that would violate HIPAA. So they set out three sort of scenarios in which this might happen: on user authenticated web pages, unauthenticated web pages, and in mobile apps. I'm going to focus on the first two because I think that's where the distinction is trickiest. So a user authenticated web page is basically a web portal into which users have to log in. And the OCR is quite strict here because if the user's logged in, it's much easier to link their PHI to, well, it's much easier to link identifiers together and reveal PHI about an individual. So they list types of PHI: IP address, medical record number, home or email addresses, dates of appointments, those sorts of things. And the concern is that vendors might also have access to diagnosis and treatment information and prescription information, billing and so on. What the OCR emphasizes here is that the information has to relate to an individual's past, future or health condition or payment for health conditions, those sorts of things. If they don't relate to those, then it's not necessarily PHI. And on authenticated web pages, it's more likely that these scraps of information, you know, IP addresses, browsing history, things that can be connected to a user via tracking cookies and pixels, are going to be sent to vendors. So on authenticated web pages, where the user has to log in, tracking technology, I mean, it's not necessarily a no-no, but you have to be very careful. On unauthenticated web pages, the situation is less obviously a HIPAA violation, but there's a bit more work to do actually to figure out whether it is or not. So they've got a few examples. If the user is visiting a hospital web page that just has information about job posting or visiting hours, it might be that a pixel collects their IP address, location, and so on. That's not necessarily PHI because it doesn't say anything about the individual's past, present, or future health condition. But there's another situation here where they contrast two examples. So if a student is writing a term paper about oncology services and they visit a hospital's webpage listing the oncology services for that purpose, then disclosing that via a pixel or a cookie would not constitute a disclosure of PHI. You've revealed probably the student's term paper topic, but you haven't revealed their medical condition. However, if a cancer patient visits the same web page, then disclosing that information would be a disclosure of PHI. So how do you know whether the person visiting your website is a student or a cancer patient? Well, you don't. I mean, the OCR doesn't say this, but you don't know that. So that's why they are suggesting that healthcare companies and other covered entities audit their sites, see where they've got tracking pixels and so on. If they do have them, they need to make very sure they're not violating HIPAA with them. Set up a business associate agreement with the vendor. Don't don't hand out the data without a valid authorization. They also say that a kind of reject accept cookie banner is not a valid authorization under HIPAA. So you can't just get consent in the same way you might do for non-PHI under HIPAA. So it's very interesting read. They set out some quite practical stuff. There'll be a link in the newsletter. Please do subscribe to that, by the way. I always forget to mention the newsletter, but this video is very strongly linked to my weekly newsletter for Privado, so do subscribe. Next up, from the Belgian DPA, an interesting and quite permissive decision about AI training. So this involves Mr. X and Bank Y. And Bank Y was running a personalized discounts service, let's call it a discount scheme. And they got consent from the customers to sign up to this process. This is from a translated document. It's not entirely clear what happened, but I think I get the gist. So they got consent to join the scheme, but then they also used transaction data both to offer discounts under the scheme, so the participants had consented to that, but also to train their AI model and improve their ability to offer tailored discounts. So it's not totally clear what the bank used to justify this, but the Belgian DPA looks at it from all angles, and what they say is very interesting. So first of all, they ask whether this training of AI models using the transaction data is compatible further processing with the original reason for which the data was collected. And they say it's not. The bank tried to say that it was statistical or research processing, but the DPA said no, there's no historical scientific basis for that, so we don't accept that. You need a separate legal basis for this activity. So then they look at whether legitimate interest could be the right legal basis. And actually, they say that it could be. The bank can rely on legitimate interests for doing this processing without getting customers' consent, obviously, because it's legitimate interests. And they do a little legitimate interests assessment in the decision itself, and it makes quite good reading. So again, take a look at the newsletter. There'll be a link to a translation of the decision. Now, there was one issue. Their privacy notice did not explain this processing, so they've had to reissue that. But as for legitimate interests, first they look at whether the processing is, well, what's the first test? The purpose test. So getting better insights into customers' activities to position itself in the market, that was considered by the Belgian DPA to be legitimate purpose. In contrast to its neighbour in the Netherlands, where there's some controversy about this, the Belgian DPA says that's fine. So purpose test is passed as far as the Belgian DPA is concerned. Next, the necessity test. Is it necessary to use an AI model to do this? Do they need to train the AI model on transaction data to fulfill that legitimate purpose? Yes, according to the Belgian DPA, the data models are a necessary intermediate step between the transaction data on the one hand and offering personalized discounts on the other. So necessity test also passed. Finally, is the balancing test passed? Now, this is the most interesting part for me. The Belgian DPA says, yes, there is a balance here. And they list a number of reasons why the bank got the balance right. Firstly, there's no attempt to re-identify individuals in the training set. The AI models were merely algorithms that no longer contain personal data. Some academics I know will not be happy with that statement, but there we are. No data was passed to third parties. No special category data was involved. Interesting, because transaction data can be special category data. And data subjects could exercise their opt-out. Mr. X was very unhappy that they took a month to allow him to opt out, but the DPA didn't seem to think that that was an issue. The risk overall was extremely small. The impact on the complainant was extremely small, and the processing of personal data was kept to a minimum. So it seems like the bank did the right things here to satisfy the Belgian DPA. If this goes to appeal, I almost hope it does, because it would be very interesting to see some more analysis of this decision. But overall, the bank was okay. I was quite surprised by this. Not saying it's a bad decision, it's very well argued, but it was surprising to me. So, lastly, the Information Commissioner's Office here in the UK has given a warning and an enforcement notice to the Home Office. That's the kind of government department that deals with domestic matters and internal stuff. And the Home Office was running an electronic tagging process for people who had arrived in the UK via dangerous routes, so small boats across the English Channel, effectively. And they failed to do a proper DPIA. That's the part of this decision that I'm most interested in. It did seem quite bad. Now, I review DPIAs. I've never seen one that failed to meet these specifications, and the stakes are very high here. So, I'm glad the ICO did something. A warning and an enforcement notice. Well, let's have a look at what the Home Office failed to do, according to the ICO. The DPIA did not have a systematic description of the envisaged processing operations and the purposes for the processing. I mean, that's step one in a DPIA. They didn't manage that. There was no assessment of necessity and proportionality. They did not demonstrate that there were no less privacy intrusive methods than ankle tagging, because that is intrusive, as the ICO says, and they didn't do a good enough assessment of the risks to the rights and freedoms of the data subjects and the measures envisaged to address those risks. So this is all pretty basic DPIA stuff. The ICO has not said that the scheme can't go ahead, but they've asked the Home Office to redo a lot of paperwork within 28 days. So that's all from me. Thank you so much to Privado AI for their support. There'll be a special edition coming up soon with Keir Lamont from the Future of Privacy Forum about the Washington My Health, My Data Act. Do keep an eye out for that. Subscribe to the newsletter, and I'll see you next week.